Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, here to welcome you to our weekly teaching edition as we study through the pages of the New Covenant Journey Study Guide. For access to the archive of previous sessions of our study, visit basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. And a reminder that the phone lines are not open today so that everyone can listen and benefit from this study. Now continuing on the New Covenant Journey, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are picking up on page 56 in chapter 5. This is the chapter about the cross of Jesus Christ, the death of the one Christ-finished work on the cross. And I think this is one of the most exciting, important topics to talk about when you talk about what Christ has actually accomplished for us. It all happened through his death, that he died some 2,000 years ago. But last week we talked about the sin problem, which is the reason for the cross. It's the reason that Christ came, so that he could take away that sin problem. So we talked about where sin originated in the garden, how Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did that, they died. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. And that condition was passed on to all people. And that's where we stopped last week. Pretty dark place to stop, the fact that we were all dead spiritually. And every single person comes into this world that way. I mean, we look at a little baby and we think it's so innocent. And yet, as the baby grows, we start seeing signs of that spiritual condition called spiritual death. They start to lie before they can talk. We see all sorts of signs of that as they continue to age. And eventually they get to the point where they recognize that something's desperately wrong with them. They don't know what it is. But all of that points to the fact that they're dead spiritually. That's the condition that was passed on to all of us. So there's sin, and then there's the consequence of sin. The consequence of sin, ultimately, is death. We see other consequences of sin. When we choose to sin, we're going to harm somebody else. That's one of the consequences. But from a spiritual standpoint, the consequence is death. Adam and Eve forfeited the life of God. And so salvation is the restoration of that. We have life. But before that could happen, God had to deal with the sin issue, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So, top of page 56, what did Jesus' death accomplish for you and for me? So, anyone who has a passing familiarity with Christianity knows that Jesus died for our sins. But what does that mean? And that, I think, is such an important question. You can ask anybody. I mean, even those who aren't believers, those who are agnostics or atheists, they know that Jesus died for our sins. They know the story. But the why behind that is seldom understood. And that's what we want to do in this particular chapter, is to get to the why of Christ's death. So we're going to begin today with Isaiah 53. And this is one of the most important, chapters in the entire Bible. We read about this in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Philip, one of the evangelists, he is... on board with an Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading the scriptures, and he's reading Isaiah 53, and Philip explains to him the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ using this particular passage. But there's some very important things that we learn as far as Christ's role with sin. His work with sin. What did the prophet Isaiah say would happen regarding sin? So we look down in that passage. It says, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquity. So what did Jesus do with sin? He bore those iniquities. He bore those sins. Goes on, therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. So what was Jesus going to do? Pour out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for them. So what did Jesus do with our sin? He bore our sins. He took those sins upon himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read this, "For he who knew no sin became sin for us." That's a fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah was saying. We also see that in 1 Peter 2:24, where Peter says that Jesus bore our sins in his body. So he took our sins away from us, and he put those sins upon himself, and then he became the once-for-all sin offering. So the first thing that Jesus accomplished was the fact that he bore our sins. Now, this was a cup that he alone was to bear. And we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is praying alone, and he has three of his disciples there, and he's encouraging them to watch and pray. And, of course, they fall asleep. But part of his prayer, really the heart and soul of his prayer, was the agony of bearing the sins of the world. It was such an agony that he began to sweat drops of blood. I mean, that's how severe this was going to be. And he said, "Lord, if there's anything that you can do to take this cup away from me, please do. But not my will, your will be done." And that's what took place. It was God's will for Jesus to bear the sins of the world so that we could be set free and raised to walk in the newness of life. So Jesus knew that this was the will of the Father on our behalf, and Jesus was willing to drink of that cup in bearing our sins. And then in question three, could the sacrifices commanded in the Mosaic covenant take away sins? So we have to ask this question. You know, there was a sacrificial system. So there was this Mosaic covenant that God established with the people of Israel. There were 10 commandments. That was the heart and soul of that Mosaic covenant. There were some other laws and regulations that came with that. And then there was a sacrificial system. God knew that they were going to fall and stumble and all of those sort of things. So he provided a way that they could experience forgiveness and a sense of freedom from their guilt. And it was built on the sacrifices of bulls and goats. That was what was sacrificed on the Day of Atonement. But here's the deal about those particular sacrifices. It was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. They just weren't of such value that they could take away the sins of the world. That required the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus shed his blood, he took away the sins of the world. So he bore our sins. He was doing that as a fulfillment of God's will for us, and he joyfully did that. And then he took away our sins. He took away our sins once and for all. And then after he took away our sins, after he died, after he breathed his last, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father, Hebrews 10:11-14. And folks, if you mark your Bibles, this is one of those passages you need to mark. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. How would you like to be born as a Levite? You know, at some point, you're going to assume your priestly duties just as your father did, as your grandfather did, all the way back to Aaron and all of his relatives at that particular time. You're going to carry on that job. And then when you get to the end of your life, somebody else is going to pick up the mantle and carry it further. But here's the deal. The job was never done. Those sacrifices that they offered day after day never did the job. They never satisfied God the Father on our behalf. That was all foreshadowing the work of Christ. So how would you like to do a job that you could never complete? You could never sit down. You could never take a rest. That was the plight of the Levites. In contrast, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So the priests of the Old Covenant, the Levites, they offered sacrifices daily. I mean, hundreds and thousands of sacrifices through the years. But Jesus offered himself once.
Yes.
He didn't do it many times, just once for all time. And after it was done, after it was completed, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now, that's good news right there.
Sure
so
is.
By this sacrifice, he has made us perfect. He has delivered us to that goal that God had in mind since the very beginning of time, so that we could be reconciled to God and enjoy a relationship with him. So that's what Christ's death has accomplished. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father because, as Hebrews 9:26 says, he took away sins once and for all. Folks, that's good news. That's worth shouting about. That's worth shouting from the rooftops, that Christ has taken away our sins once and for all.
Yeah.
So what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us here and now? Paul said it best in 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. So what does the finished work of Christ mean to you and me? Well, it means this, that God is not counting our sins against us. So we have the privilege of going out in the world, and anyone we speak to, any person we talk to, we can say with authority and with the utmost confidence, God is not counting your sins against you.
That is good news.
Why? Because Christ took them away once and for all.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, you're listening to Basic Gospels Weekly Teaching Edition from our study guide entitled The New Covenant Journey. I'm Bob Davis here with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, and we thank you for being with us. Let me remind you that if you've joined our study in progress and would like to start at the beginning, you can do that anytime by visiting the teaching page of our website. That's basicgospel.net/teaching. There you'll find an archive of all the previous teaching editions, and as I said, you can access them anytime you'd like. Also from that page, you can order your own copy of the study guide, The New Covenant Journey, and the study notes from each session. Again, that's all available online at basicgospel.net/teaching. A quick reminder, too, that because this is a teaching edition, the phone lines are not open today. Now, back to our study.
Well, thanks. So we're going to pick up on the top of page 58, the section Once and for All. So we just talked about the sacrificial system of the Old Covenant, how daily sacrifices were made. So time after time after time, they would offer up the blood of bulls and goats and all sorts of sacrifices. But what we learn about Jesus is that it was once for all. And so, Richard, tell us a little bit more about what this phrase means, once for all, and what it means for us here and now.
Well, like we say at the very top of the page, there is nothing more that needs to be accomplished relative to the sin problem. Jesus' death is enough. Well, how do we know that? Thankfully, Jesus himself told us that. For example, lots of times we think the Romans killed Jesus or the Jews killed Jesus, or, you know, we have all these fanciful notions. Well, what Jesus said is, in John 10, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Important caveat there. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is a vitally important passage in Jesus' own words, saying, what I've come to do is my responsibility. It's my authority, based on the Father giving me that authority, that when I have taken sin upon myself, I can lay my life down and completely defeat the sin problem, deal with it once and for all, and then I can take it up again. We'll talk about that in a little while. But Jesus being able to do that himself was critical.
Yeah, I think that's such a vital point. And something, you know, when we look at the death of Christ, I know several years ago there was this movie by Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, and we see the human side of the suffering. We see what man did to Jesus. But that's not the real story.
No.
Here's the real story, the fact that Jesus laid down his life of his own accord. And I think the prayer back in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but not my will be done, your will be done.
Yes.
That's the whole story. This was a plan between God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son.
Yes.
And men just kind of stepped in and carried out certain roles to bring it to fruition. But God, when Jesus came into this world, he was going to a cross. He was going to shed his blood once and for all for you and me.
Yes.
That is the good news.
And Jesus fulfills his own statement here. You read about it in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice. He's on the cross. You know, it's been dark for all this time. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So right there, when he had said this, he breathed his last. He laid his life down, gave it right to the Father. Okay, so what does this suggest about your involvement in God's plan? Well, I'm a beneficiary of it, but I have nothing to do with the plan. God chose to do this himself on our behalf. That should tell you something about the value of this sacrifice. I didn't bring a sacrifice. I didn't kill the sacrifice. Nothing that I have in myself was brought to bear on any part of the sin problem. God and Jesus themselves took this on and defeated Satan right there on that spot in terms of the sin issue. So, did Jesus think he completed the task? Well, it turns out he did. I mean, John 19. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. It's complete. The goal has been reached. That's what that statement means. There was a goal. I have reached it. It is done. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, as we read in Luke. So will Jesus ever have to deal with sin again? The answer is absolutely not. Hebrews 9, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, you want to talk about good news about the completion of the work at the cross. Jesus said, it is mine to lay down my life. He said, it is finished. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he reveals, the Spirit reveals to the writer of Hebrews, I only had to do that one time. It was complete. It's done. Never again. That when Jesus comes back, the only reason he's coming back is this, the absolute victorious King of the universe.
Yeah, to bring salvation to those who are waiting. It's just an amazing truth, and you have to ask, why can't we embrace this?
Yes.
Why can't we step with both feet into this truth and be so thankful and grateful for what Christ has done? And yet we don't.
Yeah.
And the challenge, I think, in the gospel message, you know, we've talked about time and time again about the hear, believe, and live. You know, we're hearing right now that
yes.
Jesus took away our sins once and for all. Do I really believe this to be true? Do I believe that there's nothing more that needs to be done relative to sin, my sin? Do I fully trust in the finished work of Christ? That's the believe part of it. And when we get that, when that really sinks down deep into our souls, then we're going to see a whole different life coming out of us.
Yes.
As far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. That fear of punishment is going to go away. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we're fully grounded in the love of Christ. So, folks, believe it. Christ took away your sins once and for all, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin.
Absolutely.
There's nothing more that God is going to do. Why? Because he did it to the full when he sent Jesus.
Yeah, it might be interesting to think there's nothing more that God is going to do because there's nothing more that God must do.
That's right.
He did it all.
He did it all.
That first time.
That's right. So we send tomorrow, and that's going to happen maybe a week to a month. Sin is going to be a part of our lives. So what do we know is true about that sin tomorrow? Jesus already shed his blood for it 2,000 years ago, and the forgiveness he provided is ours. That's what we know. Now, does that give us a license to sin?
Of course not.
No. If you really understand what Jesus has done, all it does is put more thankfulness in your heart. So what does all this mean for us? The fact that Jesus bore our sins, the fact that he took away our sins, the fact that he is seated at the right hand of God, the fact that he did this once for all, and that he's no longer counting our sins against us. Here's what it means to us. Yes. Forgiveness is ours. Forgiveness is mine. Forgiveness is yours. Listen to these passages. What do you have in Jesus? Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
So are you in Christ? That's the big question. If you're in Christ, and to be in Christ means you've been saved, means that you've gone from death to life, means that you've been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the Son. That's what that means. So if you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, this is a big deal. It's not that you're going to get more and more and more of it. It's that you have it. In him, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, could this be possible without the death of Christ? Absolutely not, because here's an important verse, Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So what did Christ's death mean to you? Forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
His blood was shed once for all. As a result, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So what else did Jesus' death provide for you? Romans 5:10, for if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. Reconciliation.
Yes.
So there was a big obstacle that stood between you and God. That obstacle has been removed once and for all. There's nothing standing between the two of you. God isn't counting your sins against you. As a result of that, you are at peace with him. You have been reconciled to him. Now, is this forgiveness a future event, or has it already occurred? So many people look at forgiveness in this sense, that I'm forgiven up to right now. When I sin tomorrow, I have to get a little more forgiveness to get me up to date. When I sin tomorrow, I have to get a little more forgiveness. So it just continues to come at us, in waves. But that's not how the Scripture puts it. The Scripture says that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle John put it this way, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. It's not a future thing. It's a past thing. Your sins have been forgiven. How many of them? Well, Paul says in Colossians 2:13, he forgave us all our sins.
Yes.
So how many does that include? All of them. That means past, present, and future. All of them have already been dealt with. All of them have already been judged. All of them have already been punished in Christ. What does that free us for? To receive this forgiveness.
Yes.
And when we come to Christ, that's what we receive. And that's exactly what Peter said to Cornelius and his household in Caesarea, the first Gentiles who came to know Jesus. He said, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Have you believed in him? Then you've received forgiveness. What does that make you? A forgiven person.
Amen.
That's the beauty of the cross.
That's good news, friends. If you'd like to get more information on this study called The New Covenant Journey, you can do so at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the information right there. Hope you'll take advantage of it. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again next time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.